Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Potted Together podcast. My name is Becca, and I'm here with my two co-hosts, Adam and Nicole. Say hello.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Good.
Don't all go at once, please.
I'm doing good.
Oh gosh, I don't know what to say.
Okay, transparently, this is our second episode we've recorded today, so we're kind of like, ooh, what's new?
Hey, so about the week I talked about in the last episode.
Yeah, well, okay, so, yeah. Well, let's talk about what we're excited for next week, then. How about we say that?
Oh, that's a good idea. Ooh. That's a good idea. Okay. I just opened up some plant mail. Actually, I'm going to talk about that yesterday. I opened up some plant mail yesterday, and I have some very, very excited specimens in that mail. So I'm jazzed about it.
Is that one of the pictures you posted on Instagram today?
Yeah. So I got four new Hoya and a new philodendron.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are you doing an unboxing or anything, or can we know?
No, because I haven't showered in a while, and I got the plants out of the mail and needed to open them right away. Because, you know, it's 1,000 degrees
Arizona problems.
Right. It's still over 100 degrees out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well over 100 degrees. I mean, I've done this thing now where I sit out in the morning with my coffee on the patio because the hummingbirds are just, like, everywhere.
Yes.
And so I just sit out there and watch hummingbirds in the morning, but it's still, like, very warm in the morning.
Yeah. My mom has a fountain in the backyard that they just got that she loves and she talks about often. And a hummingbird, and I swear it's the same hummingbird, comes every morning and just drinks out of the fountain. So that's what I was doing when I was out there too, because it's really the only time of the day until the sun goes down that you can be outside and not be in water and tolerate the heat.
Yeah.
So when can we see the Hoya?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Okay.
Someone. Never. Someone made a comment about, you know, like, no one makes videos on how to keep plants happy in LECA. And so I'm just like, whoa, I don't know if I should document the whole process of, like, from starting to, you know, full grown plant.
I get that question a lot too. And I feel like one of us has to jump on that wagon and do that long drawn out video, because I do. Let's do it. People are very interested in the entire process of LECA, and they have a lot of questions. So I feel like if we put our heads together, we can totally do a collab video on it.
Yeah.
Cool. Done. It's in the books.
Yeah, you guys should do that. That would be a really fun project video. I had a project video come out a couple weeks ago, and people really loved it because you get to see the results in the video. You're not, like, waiting. I mean, it might take a few months, but it's nice. It's cool to make them too.
You're from seed plants is the one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I loved that video.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was fun.
You're welcome very much.
That was very fun. So for me, what's new, I suppose, you know, I didn't talk about this in the last episode, but I'm thinking I want to get a new phone because I just found out that my business technically could buy me a new phone.
Yes.
Because I really have been wanting the new iPhone, I don't know, like 11 XR or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then as soon as I get interested in buying the new phone, I'm hearing words about the new phone, like the iPhone 12. And I don't know when it's coming out, actually. I don't think there's even a release date. But I guess it doesn't, I don't know if it would really be that much different, but I currently have the 8 Plus. Which is a great phone.
It is. That's a good phone.
I dropped it in the bath like a couple months ago, I guess, and one of the speakers doesn't work anymore. So I'm like, wah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Time to upgrade.
Oh, wait. Adam and Nicole, you guys will probably appreciate this. I just found out that you can change the quality of your video recording on your iPhone to like 4K 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Did you guys both know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Why didn't you tell me? You know, in School of Rock where he's like, you guys are pretty good out there. You guys are good musicians. Why didn't anybody tell me?
Yeah. I mean, Apple usually does their reveals in September, so maybe that's when they're going to reveal the new iPhone, but I don't know. I haven't heard much scuttlebutt about it.
I feel like they do that, though. Like, you just get the newest and greatest and latest iPhone, and then 6 months later, there's talks of the newer iPhone.
I know.
I have the 11. Jay has the 11 Plus, or whatever it is, like the bigger one.
The Pro. I think I have the Pro. 11 Pro.
Okay. And, I mean, I think you can agree, Adam, like, the camera is pretty amazing. Like, it is a really good camera.
Yeah. And that's, I use it, the lens attachments for my Macro Monday shots because I just absolutely love. So yeah, the camera's really good. I don't use the wide angle camera very much. Okay, so you have like the normal camera, then you have like a zoom camera, and then there's a wide angle one that goes 0.5 times. So it kind of is like a fisheye, but I just don't find the quality of those photos spectacular. So
I don't use it either.
I mean, if that's going to be the difference in a phone, like if one has the wide angle and the other doesn't, I wouldn't fret too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I've been wanting to actually get a wide angle lens for my camera too. We've talked about lenses a lot, but I think I'm going to do it.
Oh yeah. For vlogging, for sure. The wide angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause right now I feel like my current, like, the kit lens that my new camera came with is actually really good. Like, oh my god, it's a world of difference from my old camera. Like,
your quality is great.
Thank you.
It really is.
Yeah. I used to have a lot of focus problems. Like, if people watched my older videos, they would just go out of focus all the time for no reason. Yeah, but okay, it was silent, though. It didn't make that sound.
I know, but in my head, I made that sound every time I saw it.
Yeah, it's like trying really hard to find my face. It is not moved. It's right in front of it. Well, anyway, so those are my two, like, I'm thinking about making some tech purchases through my business because might as well. I mean,
yeah, you got that 5-year amortization schedule with those big tech purchases. You got that down.
What? Oh, like the depreciation on your tax return?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm learning about that right now. Like, on your Schedule C, you can depreciate them for like their, as long as their life is, like 5 years for computers.
Yeah.
3 years for software. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I need to make an LLC because with all these like merch purchases and stuff, I don't have an LLC right now. So it's going to be messy AF come this tax season.
You haven't done that.
I don't either.
I need to like, mm-hmm. I was trying to think of what name I would want my LLC, but I was like, Naughty Co.
Not Dude.
I know.
Not Dude.
Naughty Plants Boy.
Not boy.
Oh my god, that is the funniest rendition of your name. So sometimes people will comment on our videos about each other, and sometimes people just like really mess up Adam and Nicole's at name, and it just makes me laugh so hard because they're not doing it on purpose. It's just they're like, oh, right. Yeah, Not Boy.
Right.
They'll call it Not Boy and like My Clean Plants.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
I've gotten like Cleaner Plants and like Clean My Plants, and I'm like, okay, I'll take it, whatever. You know who I am, that's good enough. But Adams are usually funnier.
Not Boy is just hilarious to me. You sound like a superhero.
Yeah, it does.
Man, but anyway, so yeah, let's get you guys set up with your LLC because I did that a few months ago and I know how to do it. And
oh, good.
Yeah, I'm working on something at work actually to help businesses like ours. So, well, you guys I think you know about that already. So
yes,
we'll get connected because if you are a YouTuber or you make money online as of recent events, you know, you might not know, but it's a lot easier if you declare yourself as an LLC. It's not very expensive either. And it's just so much easier on your taxes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because you do have to claim the income after a certain amount. So, but anyway. So what about you, Nicole? Let's hear from you. What's, you know, what's the, anything new from the last hour?
From the last hour and a half? Well, I didn't talk about my plants and when I returned home, like, to my house full of plants after being gone for 2 weeks. I was actually shocked that all of my plants survived. And I mean, we have someone staying here with our dogs, but every time we go out of town, even if it's just for a week, I usually come home to at least a few dead plants. Mm-hmm. And I gathered up my plants. I talked about this a little bit on Instagram, but I gathered my plants up by LECA and by soil. So I kind of separated them, grouped them together so that our house sitter can only water the soil plants. And it worked. Like, the LECA plants thrived. The soil plants were great. I came home to no dead plants, which was really crazy. Like, I had a few yellowing leaves on my Adansonii, and that was it. So it was a successful trip, because that's like the biggest fear I feel for people in the plant community to go out of town for so long. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you got to leave your plants. And you have to leave someone else, like if someone's watching your house or checking in, you know?
Yeah.
You have to leave them up to like checking on them. And it's for someone who doesn't have plants, which she doesn't, it's scary, because I was like, what if she drowns them? What if she doesn't give them enough? What if she just, you know?
Yeah.
You worry.
I want to say like 6 months ago or maybe more, Hilton Carter, I remember, posted some kind of like how he sets up his plants for like a plant keeper to come in. And it was so organized and so beautifully done. But I don't know. I mean, that's pointless of me saying that because I can't tell you specifics. But I just remember seeing it and being in awe of like his setup. But, you know, with you, Nicole, LECA, it's in me too. It's helped, especially like going out of, I was out of town for 10 days and I came back and all of the LECA plants were fine. You know, they were still just, you know, chilling and had their nutrient solution. Yeah.
I have a question about LECA for you guys. So someone sent me a message the other, or I don't know, maybe today, asking how does systemic insecticide work for LECA? Because systemic is you water it in with the plant, like you water in neem oil, or I'm using this new solution by Arbico. How, like, does that work with LECA?
Honestly, I don't know, because I've been, go ahead, Adam, do you have more input on this?
No, I've never used a systemic at all, ever.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
But I know that systemics work by root uptake. It takes up the whatever the systemic is made of, and then it's just like existing in the plant cells, the plant material, and then when the bugs bite into it, they obviously die, but the plant's not affected. So I feel like it would work the same way, except like most systemics are granules that I've seen, and I think I guess the one systemic that I hear about a lot is the bonide systemic, which I think is granules that you would sprinkle onto your house plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like mosquito bits where you would water it and then it would kind of go into the soil. But I don't know. I mean, it probably wouldn't be very attractive in a cash poe, but it probably would work. I guess I don't know. I've never used one even when I had soil plants, which I probably should have been, but I haven't worried about it.
Yeah. And there is, like, the systemic that I'm using is liquid. So I was thinking, like, oh, I guess, like, you could just put it in with your nutrients, but I don't know. I don't know how LECA works at all, and I get, actually, a lot of people ask me stuff about LECA, and I'm like, I'm just really not interested in LECA. I mean, I know that's disappointing, but I don't have any plants in LECA. I don't see that ever happening for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. Like, I still enjoy all of my soil plants. Like, all my cacti are still in soil. So, I mean, I get that. You know, there's nothing wrong with not liking LECA. I just never, I've never had any pests on my LECA plants yet. I've only been doing it for about 8 months now or so.
Yeah.
Coming up on a year. So I haven't had the need to really use a systemic yet. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
It would be a good thing to test out though.
Yeah. I've heard that LECA is really great for pest management, and you'd think with my issues, it would be more attractive to me, but it still isn't. I prefer soil really, but.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing like getting your hands into like a big bin of soil mixture. Like, you're mixing up your soil. I still love that. I do. I absolutely love it. But I switched to LECA because I ordered some expensive Hoya, my first like big overseas Hoya purchase. And I was just like, I cannot kill these plants. And so that's why I went to LECA. And then they thrived in it. So then I was like, well, I'm going to keep converting some of my Hoya to LECA. And here we are.
Yep.
Yeah, Hoya seem to really enjoy it.
Yeah, they really do.
That's a whole other podcast episode right there.
Yeah, it really is. You guys should let us know on Instagram if you'd like to see like a soil versus LECA. I think you guys would be able to weigh in on that a lot better because I don't have anything in LECA, but you can also use it for propagation without it being, you know, using the nutrients and all that. But I've tried that and I was very unsuccessful, but probably because I did it wrong. So I feel like I could learn a lot from you guys as far as that goes, because I would propagate in LECA because it might be better than propagating in water, maybe.
I mean, I think it is because there is air that's allowed to get to the roots while they're still getting enough moisture to create roots. But then also, I think the transition from LECA, a new propagation from LECA into soil is easier, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's easy to root plants in water. It's just the transfer into soil. Like, it takes a little bit longer to establish.
Right.
Which is fair, and I recognize that. Water is so easy. I never fail in water. Like, I can't say never, but it's, like, seldom failed to root a plant, you know? But
that's true.
Yeah. I always fail when I use spag consistently. I always rot the plant.
And I'm very envious of people that only use spag to root or to propagate. I actually have a regale in spag in a mason jar, and I gave it a little bit of water, closed it up before I left out of town, and it was on its way out. Like, it was almost dead. The leaves were crispy. It just didn't have enough humidity. And I came back home and it's putting out two new leaves.
Wow.
In this closed mason jar in spag. And now I feel like, okay, now I need to get like a big Tupperware and just propagate everything in spag because now I'm on a roll, you know?
Yeah.
I don't do spag a lot if it's out in the open, but in a closed environment, it's worked well for me, but mostly from like the wet stem, wet stick is what they call it. So I like have a wet stick of a plant, and it usually does really well growing in like a closed sphagnum environment, but
I need to try that again. I would like to try it again because I don't necessarily want to buy sphagnum moss again, but I have some because, oh my gosh, it's hard to buy small amounts. So after I get through this, I don't know if I want to buy it again, but I'd like to use it. And you can keep reusing it too in your own home. Like, you can sanitize it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Right? Is that right? Am I making that up?
I think so. No, I think so.
I use it. I really only use sphagnum when I'm doing like shipping plants to people.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Well, today, not to drive us away from this fun topic, but today we're going to be talking about finding contentment in our plant collection in this big search to find more rare, bigger, better plants. Especially right now, I think with the hobby becoming more popular, which I want to say off the bat, I think is a beautiful thing. I'm definitely not a gatekeeper of the plant community. I think everyone should join. I think it's beautiful that people are getting plants. But with that comes a lot of comparison and, I don't know, just in general feeling really dissatisfied with your collection. So we kind of wanted to talk today about how we as individuals remain satisfied in our collections and sort of curb those needs to spend and acquire constantly. Because I think that's really important to circle back to that conversation often. Because there's nothing wrong with admiring plants and wanting plants. It's just, yeah. It can become unhealthy, and it's important to recognize that.
Yeah.
So one of you go ahead and tell me how you stay content with your plants. Nicole, how about you go first?
Okay. So I guess on the topic of acquiring bigger, more sought out, rare plants, I guess you can say, for me, I've never really been into the hype of more rare plants. So I still go to my local nurseries and I still absolutely love my most basic plants. And I don't know, I feel like you get to a point in your plant collection where you get a watering routine down, you get a system going, and you're like, you know what, if I add any more, it is going to become out of control. And really learning new things about each one of your plants, like, for instance, my string of hearts that I'm staring at right now in my office, it has grown. It grows so much. I'm constantly propagating my plants. So even like in that sense, you can constantly propagate your own plants and make new plants from your current plants. You don't have to necessarily go out and buy new plants. So I guess, you know, just learning to appreciate the plants that you have and to spend more time with them, maybe cleaning your leaves, no pun intended, or, you know, switching some plants over to LECA, experimenting with the plants that you have. I found that's kept me pretty content with my plants. Now, have I gone and like done some plant swaps? Sure, those are always fun. And I feel like plant swaps are a healthy way to acquire new and different plants without necessarily spending a ton of money on them, especially during the times that we're in right now with people being out of work and whatnot. But I don't know. I haven't purchased a plant in months, and I don't feel like I'm lacking anything. I really don't. I feel like I've been home a lot more because of the pandemic, so I haven't been working, and I've just, like I said, been propagating, transitioning some new plants to LECA, experimenting with different things, bringing plants outside and seeing how they do outside. And so I don't know. I guess I can't relate right now to the plant craze and buying plants and pricing on plants too, and like where everything's at and what people are talking about in the plant community right now.
Yeah, I think it's hard to plant shop right now because and maybe it's easier for us because we already have established collections. So maybe if we didn't, it would be a different story. It'd be a different feeling and conversation in general because, I mean, I'd say we all have pretty robust collections to keep us busy.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. What do you think, Adam?
Well, I'm kind of reaching that point right now where I'm feeling I go through like peaks and bows of like feeling overwhelmed with my plant collection. Like, and I'm in the overwhelmed section right now of that kind of cycle, because while I love all the plants I have, like, I don't know, sometimes it just feels like it feels overwhelming. I don't know how to put that other than saying overwhelming. Like, I don't love clutter. I want to make sure that every one of them is happy, and that's not the case, and it never will be the case, so I have to let that go. But, I don't know. I get the hype, and I understand, like, the excitement of an auction, the excitement of, like, being the first to see someone put a plant for sale and you need to buy it kind of thing, and then that release of dopamine when you succeed. You know, it's a high. Like, it for sure is. And that's kind of funny that you say, like, we all have established collections, and how different would it be if we were just getting into plants right now? Because I think it would be vastly different than when we started. Like, I didn't even give that a thought, because there's so many people entering into this hobby, and it's amazing, but I don't know what that looks like as far as, like, online sales go, because I feel like I'm in that boomer category where I'm like, I remember when that plant was $6.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know,
it was only like a year ago.
Pink Princess, I remember seeing a video with NSE Tropicals. I can't think of her name.
Enid.
Yes. Where she said she was throwing away Pink Princess. Like, a couple years ago, she was throwing them away because no one wanted them. And then boom, you know.
And boom.
The PPP boom. But I don't remember what the question was. I'm just rambling about my overwhelmed feelings of my plants. But
yeah, it's definitely, I feel like I'm very similar in that. I'll feel really overwhelmed and get rid of like 5 plants and feel much better. Or like accidentally kill a few things and be like, whew, all right, we're okay.
Becca put up some air quotes on that, by the way.
Yeah.
Accidentally.
It happens sometimes. Like, when that big spider mite infestation happened, when you guys were over, I just, like, threw away some plants. I was like, it's not worth it. I was on the edge about you already, and you have really bad spider mites. I'm just throwing you away, sanitizing the pot, and starting over. But, yeah, I think with me staying content with my collection, I feel like, honestly, is a lot easier because I have every plant that I want. Like, if I didn't, though, it would be a lot harder. So I understand why that is so difficult to, like, want to have that chase, want to acquire so much. And I do still feel like that. There are more plants that I would love to have, but I think there's also something to be said about, like, having healthy boundaries with yourself and with, like, your housemates, whoever you live with, roommates, your partner, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't like living in clutter either, and I feel like it can very easily become that because we only have a few windows. We don't live in greenhouses, so the plants can only go in so many places. So that's usually when I start to get overwhelmed, when I see that all my windowsills are filled, all my tables are filled. I'm like, oh, God, it's just gotten too far. I think in those moments, it's like, okay, you kind of have to go through and think about which plants are really sparking joy for you. Not to be cliche, but I'm kind of doing that right now as I'm preparing to move. Like, I don't want to get rid of a lot of them, but I am going to not bring every single one. Mm-hmm. But I think what Nicole said, like, spending time with your plants and experimenting with them, those are both really great ways to find contentment in your plants, because, and, like, grow in your contentment with plants. It's not something that just happens one day. It's something that you grow into. And I think it's important also to, like, collect plants for the plants, not for status and stuff. Like, yeah, that's been talked about a lot recently. Like, do you have plants because you genuinely love plants, or are you just, like, I don't know, not to say hopping on a trend, but or are you just trying to make money? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can tell the difference between the two types of collectors, and not bagging on either one. It's just people who have a genuine love for plants will stick around for longer and mm-hmm. wait out the prices and all these things, because it won't be a big boom forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that you are right in the sense of, like, I didn't think about that either, Adam, about people just getting into plants. Like, I remember when I first got into plants, before I started doing YouTube, when I was watching people on YouTube, there's so many more YouTubers, plant tubers, we call them, in the plant community now, and I feel, which is a great thing. And I feel like if you're just coming into this realm or this community and you're watching everybody's videos and you're seeing all the different plants people have and people are acquiring, and it's we're in the middle of a pandemic, so I feel like with that alone, people are wanting to acquire and surround themselves with so many plants, because plants are therapeutic and plants are comforting and they're helping us get through this time. But some people may be seeing, you know, people having or buying very rare, expensive plants, and they might think, oh, I need that, you know, and I just feel like that shouldn't be the case. And mm-hmm. to someone who's just coming in the community, you know, just to let you know, you don't have to do that to be yeah. happy and surround yourself with plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the price gouging and the price explosion that we've seen is not because these sellers are, I mean, it's a mix of a lot of things, but if people are willing to pay those prices, then they're of course going to sell them at those prices. Like, it's not, mm-hmm. it's economics in my mind. So if you're not going to be buying plants at those insane prices, then they're gonna have to drop the prices. But as long as people continue to buy them, it's gonna stay high. So I mm-hmm. in that case, I just think, like, a lot of people want to point the fingers. They'll say, like, oh, well, it's the people posting on Instagram that are driving with the prices, or it's the sellers who are being greedy. Like, it's a mix of everything. But as long as mm-hmm. consumers buy at those prices, like, they're not gonna change. It's economics, right. So
yeah, it'll right. go up if anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, I, and circling back to, I really like that idea, Nicole, of, like, doing projects and experiments with your plants. I think that's so amazing to do, like, you know, take a plant and see what propagates faster, soil, LECA, you know, yada, yada. I mean, it's a way to keep things exciting and also make more plants, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Go on a date with your plants.
Aw, that's fun. I like that.
Take your plants on a date.
Yeah, I think those are all really important to remember. Yeah, because there's just such a demand right now.
There really is.
I mean, it's beautiful that so many people are interested. It's just there will be people that will take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just life.
Yeah, it is, for sure. And that's why I feel like, you know, if you're in a position where you're trying to surround yourself with plants, like, for therapy, and you're really just getting into the plant community, a great thing is just to develop some friendships within the plant community, and you can plant swap, you can mm-hmm. you know, it's a really good way to acquire maybe some of those plants that you might not be able to afford, especially during such a difficult time. Because I know I've definitely done that. That's how I acquired my Thai Constellation and my Monstera Elbow, through friends that were just so giving and kind to trade with me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, trading plants is so underrated. It really is. You don't have to go to an organized plant swap to do it either.
Not at all.
And there's a lot of like etiquette surrounding it, but it really is as simple as sending a message on Instagram or posting on your Instagram stories or in your group on whatever, Facebook, Indoor Jungle Directory, wherever you are meeting up with friends online. Like, hey, I have these plants. I'm looking for these. Who wants to trade? Like, simple.
Super simple.
Yeah, and you can develop so many fun friendships out of that.
Wait, should we talk about Indoor Jungle Directory?
That I was just going to go there, but did you just say? No.
I'll just say something about it because I know it feels weird to talk about your own stuff, but my experience, Becca started the Indoor Jungle hashtag pretty soon into your plant collecting. It was, you were on that live episode with Maria from Bloom and Grow. I remember you talking about it then, but you had already established it where you do a hashtag, your city, Indoor Jungle. And now it's morphed into, you know, a community website where you all can go and have friends and, you know, message boards. But my experience with IJD was I met friends in Phoenix before I even moved here because of it. And I don't know, I don't think I've ever really told you that in life, but like I made Instagram friends because of Indoor Jungle Directory, the hashtag on Instagram, who were friends in real life now because they were at that first plant swap that I met you at, like people that I was like, oh, I know you from online. So it's,
Oh, that makes my heart sing. That's really great.
The community aspect of it is just, it's so important, especially for people who, like me, we use plants as like therapy because I was feeling super alone at the moment in time when I was like really getting into plants and using that to just fill a void and also like finding a community of people who didn't make me feel alone. And I really am so grateful to IJD for that.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
Plug, plug, plug. But it's like that's a true, it's a true story. And it's really like it made my life better.
Yeah. Well, that's really sweet. I think it's so new, and when people don't have like immediate success with it, they're like, oh, well, whatever. But I mean, you really have to be kind of consistent, and like, unless you live in a super established city, you might not find it you might not find someone at first, but you kind of just have to like play around with it. And you can become you can make an account on Indoor Jungle Directory, or you can just use the hashtag on Instagram and find people that way. And it's really great. I had no idea that the Phoenix plant community was that intense.
It's huge out there. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like with Indoor Jungle Directory, you know, if you're not having any success finding anybody in your city, kind of be active. You know, maybe search people out on Instagram, bring them over to Indoor Jungle Directory, get a group started, talk about possibly setting up a plant swap or, you know, a more informal plant swap and just, you know, start the conversation.
Yeah, I think it's really meant to be an alternative to Facebook because Facebook in the plant community has just a lot of the drama in the plant community is derived from Facebook a lot of the time. Yeah. And
that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's kind of just like a nice place to go to escape all of that. You can join a group without it being, I don't know, nasty and toxic. I just feel like the mood over there is just so vastly different. And it's still very pure on Indoor Jungle Directory, and it will stay pure, obviously, because I'm running it. But yeah.
Hello.
But yeah, I guess that's an uncomfortable self-plug. But thank you for saying that, Adam.
No, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great story.
It's something I'll cherish is this community and your hashtag. And now your online Indoor Jungle Directory have like been a catalyst for that. So,
oh, I'm so glad.
I never really liked Facebook.
Ugh, dumpster fire. It's just so bad.
Yeah.
It really, I don't know. I'm only on it to post like I don't know, milestones or holiday pictures for the little bit of family I have on Facebook. Like, that's literally the only reason. And then I have like a group for my photography because it's just easy for some people aren't on Instagram, so it makes it easy for my clients to find my work on Facebook. And that's really it. When I started hearing about the plant community, tea drama, whatever you want to call it, I was just like, but why? Like, why are people on Facebook creating drama because people enjoy it? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
maybe it's like this. Maybe it's just like this stigma in my head about like Facebook in general and me hating Facebook that I'm just like, oh, it's because of Facebook. That's why. Like, just stay off Facebook.
I use Facebook like strictly for the marketplace because I used to be such a gal for Craigslist, but then it started getting kind of weird. And I don't even know if people still use Craigslist. I mean, I'm sure they do, but I use it for the marketplace. Like, I've looked at the marketplace in Colombia like so many times and found beautiful things. And I'm like, dang it. Why am I doing this to myself? I did it this morning. Like, why am I like this? But I use it for the marketplace. And I'm also a part of a cockapoo group for dogs, like the breed. Because Leo, we're pretty sure Leo's a cockapoo. So I joined the group. And it's just like so pure to see people like share videos of their dogs. But that's really all I do.
Yeah.
On
Facebook. So anyway, back to the conversation of contentment. Yes. Yeah, I think it's really easy to always be looking for the next best thing. Always. There's always going to be something new coming out. But with plants, you know, there's a lot more that we need to be aware of. It's not makeup, you know, these plants are not being built out of thin air. There's lots of, I don't know, there's been a lot of conversations surrounding conservation in the plant community and lots of issues with poaching, and we don't need to go too deep into it because I'm sure that most people are aware, but you know, this attitude of like needing more rare, needing bigger, better, it has a pretty big impact on the environment. Like, it could very directly affect the environment if we're not aware, at least, you know what I mean? I don't know if we don't have to get too far into that, but I mean, I don't know, consumerism affects all walks of life, but plant consumerism can very easily turn super ugly for things that are not human.
Yeah, I mean, and first and foremost, plants belong in nature. Like, that's where they started, that's where they belong. And that's not saying that, you know, you shouldn't have houseplants, you should, but I think when you add on to the rare / hard to find hype and a plant, it's like, I don't know, I can say that I feel like I've been guilty of this too. Like, I don't really stop and think like, well, where did that plant come from? Or how did this person acquire that plant? Because all I was thinking was like, I need this plant because I love it so much. And, you know, you buy it and that's fine. But like, if you find out that that plant was stolen, or if you find out that plant was obtained illegally, or, you know, poached, etc., like, I know that I would feel a lot of guilt about that, you know? So I just think,
yeah,
I think when you're in that hype to just like, maybe ask yourself those questions of like, well, you know, do I trust this person? Is this a seller I trust, or do I have to have this? I don't know.
Is the seller reputable? That's a really great start. Where are they sourcing the plants? And reputable sellers will share that information. They're not afraid. They will show you, you know what I mean? So, but you get those people that won't. It's very similar with clothing. Like, the garment industry is awful. And we don't ever think about who makes our clothes, but they're made by people. All clothing is made by human hands. So how can a shirt be sold for $2 and that person have a livable wage? Like, how can that plant be sold in mass quantities when it's endangered and not have an impact on the environment in their natural, where they're endemic to? So just some things that we should think about.
I remember my first time in Arizona, being that I love cactus so much, I remember driving to my mom's house and my stepdad pretty much introducing me to the saguaro cactus and just kind of seeing how massive these plants are in their environment. And I can only imagine it's the same like shocking reaction someone would have to visiting a rainforest, you know, but they're so beautiful. And then, you know, he went on to tell me that, you know, if you just touch one the wrong way and someone catches you, you can, I mean, you can serve jail time. It's pretty serious. They're mm-hmm. so protected in Arizona and
yeah.
The desert. So I just, that just popped into my head, and I just remember feeling like, wow, that's something to really appreciate.
Yeah, there's, yeah, plants definitely deserve a lot of reverence, truly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot mm-hmm. more than I think I offer them. Like, I'll speak for myself, you know, they're mm-hmm. incredible. Saguaro alone is incredible, like, mm-hmm. so much reverence.
And but. Speaking, I guess, speaking back to contentment, one of the ways, me personally, like, that I find contentment in staying engaged with my plants is to buy smaller plants or get, you know, like we talked about the swaps or the cuttings, because if you buy a fully mature plant, you're just like, okay, like, it's beautiful and it's lovely, but like, you're missing out on like watching that plant go from like the smallest little like two leaf node, one node cutting to like being, you know, a large plant. So that's another thing, is just like, maybe start small and grow your collection instead of buying the mature specimen that is Instagram ready and beautiful. Like, take the time, put the work in to like establish that plant, you know?
Yeah,
it's definitely more rewarding too.
Yeah, absolutely. Did your guys' collections start largely off of like established plants or cuttings? Like, how did your collections start?
I think a mix of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a mix of both, mainly because I just, when I started, I really couldn't afford to buy like mature, beautiful plants. Mm-hmm. So I was searching on Etsy, you know, obviously researching some reputable sellers, and one being the Plant Chica. She's in California. She's an absolute amazing plant seller. She's great. I bought quite a few plants from her, and those were full plants that I got because her prices were just great. And some I got from friends, and they were cuttings. So I feel like a mixture of both. But I will say I love starting with cuttings because I do enjoy watching them grow and having that accomplishment feeling like, oh, I did this. I grew you. You know, I'm doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say mine too mostly started from smaller plants, but there are, you know, I bought larger plants, you know, the big box stores when I was starting out. I would go there every day on my lunch break. I would go to a Walmart and just see what they had. I mean, that's where I got my first Cebu Bulu Epipremnum. Epipremnum.
Epipremnum?
Epipremnum.
Yeah, whatever. but, you know, the most joy that I have in my collection is those plants that were small, you know, like the small cuttings. I know, like, a lot of people talk about my Hoya collection, or people will say, like, your Hoyas are so large, but all of my Hoyas started out so small. You know, my obovata that is climbing up my wall and almost to the ceiling now started out as, like, a five-leaf thing I got off of Etsy.
That's so cool.
And so, yeah, I think I love how they look now. They're massive. And I mean, the huge Carnosa that I had was always big, and I was given that, you know, way before the Hoya hype. Way, like, I had that Hoya when I started my plant collection. What about you? Did yours start with like a mix, or?
I think the like very initial start was cuttings. And listen, this is very controversial, but I'll admit this. I house sat for a woman who loved plants, so she had a lot. And I did snip a few leaves from her, and that's how a lot of my plants have started.
Okay, and truth time, can I tell you? Like, when I saw that you said that in a video, like, it was one of your first videos, because, like, we were all both starting. I was like, oh, I would be so mad if she did that to me.
Yeah. There was a really big controversy later on in plants about stuff like that. Like, and, you know, like, now having an established collection, like, yeah, that would make me mad too. But in my defense, and I still don't condone it, it was like one leaf, you know what I mean? Like, from each plant. But still, it was wrong. I didn't understand, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, what, trying to get into the Becca pre-plant mind, like, you probably were just like, oh, I can make this grow. And mm-hmm. like, it's one leaf. And I don't know. I feel like I can see you being innocent and doing it. Like, yeah. I can't see you being devious.
Yeah, there's no malice there. There's none.
No.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate thing. And yeah, somebody did, like, scold me big time on YouTube. It was one of my first videos I said it. I might have privated the video at this point. But yeah, it was not good. Like, obviously, I would never do that again. I never did it after that. That was, like, maybe I took, like, 4 cuttings and never did it again, because then I was like, oh god, that sucks, like, I hate that I did that to her. But it's not as if she was a stranger as well, so there's that mm-hmm. too, we knew each other. But anyway, my sins aside, that's how a few of my plants started. And then I think I bought some plants originally, but I don't have them anymore, but I do have all of those cuttings still, like all of them.
Wow.
Besides one, actually. But
you know what you can do?
Give her the leaf back.
You can snip off a leaf from each one and be like, here you go. Just a little gift.
Here's a return. No.
Plant mail.
I know. No one come after me. I know that it was wrong now. Hindsight is 20/20. But
we love you.
You know what? Let's just normalize people hearing a point of view and then changing their opinion on it, and that's what you've done. So, you know what? Thank you for even like saying that you feel like guilty about it now.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I can have a moment of humility and trust that my friends won't ream me. So, wait, is ream the right word? Does that mean something? Okay, we're good. Okay, so
leave that in.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up the conversation. I mean, that was really good. I hope that do you guys have anything additional you'd like to add? Anything we missed?
I think this is a great conversation to add, and maybe we can extend the conversation over on Instagram on this week's post if you want to talk about it in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely a conversation I'd like to open up to the plant community about staying content with your current plant collection and like what you're doing to do that.
Yeah.
Like we've said, and like you've said with everything, there's always something else that's coming behind. So I really do want to hear what other people have, because like Nicole, you said the experiment thing and never thought about that. I'm sure there's a lot of other things that I haven't thought about. So we would definitely like to hear from you guys to find out how you stay content with your collection, how you stay content with the plants that you have, and maybe some tips on what you do to not feed that desire to find more and find the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really great.
So with that, you can find us over on @PottedTogether on Instagram and just look for this week's post and just start the conversation in the comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening. Again, we're on Instagram @PottedTogether. We're also on YouTube. We are going to have some collabs going up over there. You can find us @PottedTogether. And if you'd like to leave a review, that would be awesome. Reviews will help us get into more people's ears, share these conversations. So
yes.
Where can we find you on Instagram, Adam?
Oh, on Instagram, I am @notdude, K-N-O-T, dude.
And I am @mycleanleaves, or, you know, my clean plants, or plants are clean.
My plants are clean @Instagram. And I'm on Instagram @delaplants, Spanish, de la plants, except plants is spelled how you would spell it in English, which is confusing, but oh well.
Plantas.
De las plantas. I've had a few people comment and be like, you should have done it like this. And I was like, you're right. I should have. It's confusing.
It's too late now. It's too late now.
I'd be like, don't should me.
A little bit of Spanglish. Never hurt anybody. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will catch you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.